The ANC's policy documents are now publicly released. There had been some of the draft documents which had made their way into the media. One of them has changed from its first sort of iteration in the media around housing policy. The proposal for a tax incentive has been taken away. But generally, my sense is ANC policy documents are quite turgid to read. They use a lot of language which belongs in a Russian or Cuban document from the 30s or 40s. No, not a Cuban document from the 30s or 40s. The Cuban document from the late 50s and 60s. But within it, it seems to me that there are proposals which reflect the ANC finally coming to terms with the reality of the world they live in and the position the country is in. FIN24 writer Carol Payton joins us now. Is that a reasonable statement of mine, Carol?
Yes, I think so. I mean, that's my job, is to read all the turgid reports and give you the essence of it. So, in fact, yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that, you know, in specifically in the paper on organizational renewal, the ANC has really grappled with the fact that, you know, it's at an existential point where, you know, where it can survive, or it can go down the tubes, and they have made some proposals which are for the first time quite honest and quite difficult, and I'm not sure whether they would, maybe a bit too ambitious for what the ANC is able to achieve.
Because, of course, they have to pass the debate test at the policy conference in a couple of months' time, and then become official ANC policy, be adopted at the electoral conference at the end of the year. Cherry pick some of the ones which seem to you to reflect a newer, perhaps more humble, perhaps wiser ANC, Carol?
Well, you know, in the past, the ANC has always said, well, you know, we've got so much corruption, or there's corruption in our ranks, and this is a foreign thing, this is foreign behavior, and this is not our nature, and we're now going to educate people, and the solution to this is to give all our activists and leaders more political education, then they'll be good, ethical people. And obviously that hasn't happened, because the fact that people are unethical and are joining because there are opportunities, and they're joining because there are opportunities of enrichment. So what they're trying to do is to cut the link between becoming an ANC sort of leader from branch upwards, going all the way through the ranks, cut that link with the benefits of public office. So they're saying, well, maybe we're not going to, at the moment in a branch, you know, it's commonly, money politics is commonly spoken about in the ANC, that you can buy a branch, you can buy a regional conference, you can even buy a provincial conference if you've got the money to pay the delegates. And that practice has developed over years and has not been stamped out. I think you all remember from the Eastern Cape Provincial Conference, one of the delegates saying to one of the contestants saying to the delegates, just take the money, I don't have money, just take that guy's money but vote for me, which obviously isn't how it worked, and wasn't how it worked out. But anyway, so what they've been trying to do is to cut that link, so to say, well, maybe, you know, if you are the most popular person in the branch and you become the branch chairperson and you go on to the region, maybe you are actually not going to be selected to be a public representative, because we want public representatives who have a broader range of skills and who have more to offer than you do, who are just a sort of, you know, rabble-rousing person, yeah, who's somehow found the money to buy your way to the top.
One remembers Smuts Nkunyama saying, when there was criticism of the BEE deal, out of which he was going to make a lot of money, we didn't join the struggle to stay poor, he said. And there should have been a chorus from the ANC saying, equally, we didn't join the struggle to get rich. We joined the struggle to make the country a better place. And the absence of any kind of criticism of that remark of his was quite telling at the time. The key point that these proposals, policy proposals, which reflect a tighter grasp of the reality in which the ANC operates at the moment in South Africa, what are the chances that they become policy and B, become enacted policy, which is different from policy on paper?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you see, the problem is in this situation, you're asking the branches. So the conference of the ANC, which will be held in December and the July policy conference, there are conferences of branches. So branches go there and they vote. And the bigger your branch is, i.e. the more members you've got, the more votes your branch is going to have, the more power you're going to have. And that sort of, you know, cascades up towards the region and the province. So you're going to be asking those people who are there at this conference to vote to limit their own personal possibilities of their own power and their own avenue to power. And that makes it not a very likely outcome. The other difficult thing is that, you know, the argument, this fact of this way, this majority kind of rules, is that you can just get by people and then you've got a majority, which has allowed, this is exactly what has allowed the corruption in the ANC. And now to say to people that we're not going to allow that anymore, the response will be, but you're cutting, you know, you're compromising on democracy. This is democracy. One person, one vote is democracy. So it's a very hard argument to win, apart from the fact that you are asking the people who will be disadvantaged by it to vote in support of it.
Carol Payton of Fin24, thank you very much indeed.